Okay. Welcome to the next cycle of the professional learning community. We call it the PLC. It's the Environmental Workforce Professional Learning Community. We do these calls every 2 weeks, and then we have some breaks. We just coming off of our break between cycles, and this is our 19th cycle. So we've been doing this since about 2009. So we've been doing it for quite a while. And let me talk a little bit about who we are and why we're doing this. I'm with HMTRI, and I'm going to introduce the other two members of our team, Heather Ballou and Bruce Diamond, and I'll ask them for their emails so that you can contact either one of us, all of us. But what HMTRI does is we work with EPA. I'm a former EPA person. That goes way back to the beginning of EPA. We've been working with technician training and onto brownfields for about 20 years. So since the beginning of the program, we worked with them to help institute the program. So what I guess I'm trying to say is we're very familiar, have institutional memory. We also, though, recognize that you all, the ones that are the grantees, are the boots on the ground. And really, while we have an institutional memory and we've talked to a lot of people, the people with the real knowledge are those of you who are doing this, either with EPA training or with other types of training. And you may be doing Youth Corps, Jobs for Youth. You may be doing all sorts of other training, and you're just getting into this as an adjunct to the other programs you're doing. So we rely very heavily on your input, and a lot of what we do is networking. We try to bring grantees together on these PLC calls. While we do have discussions that are more instructional in nature, we also have grantees that come on and talk about their programs, what they're doing, try to find out what I call the landmines are, the problems that they've had, how they've worked around them, what really works for them, what courses work for them. And these are 30-minute discussions, so it doesn't take too much of your day. We do them every 2 weeks. Our next PLC will be on August 1st, just before the all-grantee meeting, which we'll get to in a second. So part of what we do is the professional learning community, but also, and as I said, we're not a grantee ourselves. We have a separate capacity-building grant with EPA, but are very familiar with the program. We also have a lot of other things that we do besides the professional learning community. We do an annual grantee meeting, which we'll be talking about today. We have a Brownfields Toolbox. It's a website where it's a depository for everything we do on environmental workforce development. We would be pretty much the warehouse or the go-to place for workforce development. Some of you may, in your debriefing, talk to your regional coordinator and perhaps they suggested you give us a call, get on these calls, and try to see what you could do for the next round. We also have an outreach listserv, and that's, again, something like a question board. If you have a question, you could send us something to put on the listserv, and we'll introduce Heather to you in a second. And that will go out to all the grantees, old grantees, alumni. And if you have a question about an OSHA course, or what do you think of this health and safety course, or what do you think is going to happen to funding, or whatever your question is, you could send it on the listserv, and we'll try to get a response. Over the years, we've had some interesting questions. Julie in Hawaii had a question. It was a technical question she had, and she said, the first person that responds, I'll invite you out to visit our program. And, of course, that was the quickest response we've ever had. We had quite a few people that gave her a great response to the question. So we have the outreach listserv. We have a mentor link program where we keep track of those people who are best of class in certain parts of this program, and we probably try to put people in touch with them. And we have a certified employee finder. I look at it, it's kind of a multi-purpose scan that we do. We do several scans through the year, And this is a question that we ask is, when are your graduates going to be graduated? When, what courses, what are your core courses? What other courses do you have? When are your graduation dates? And we compile all of these with the grantees, and we get these to national employers so that they know what everyone's teaching, when their graduates are available, what, how many, what kind of training are they receiving. It's a great document that's used to find out what kind of courses are very popular, what most people are doing besides HAZWOPER. They might be doing OSHA 10 or how many people are doing asbestos or lead training. So as I read the list of the things we do, you can kind of get the idea of, well, we're kind of helping hands. We help the 50 to 60 current grantees and another 17 or 18 grantees that are extending their program or trying to extend it. And this goes for people who are interested in the program, thinking about whether they want to get into this. It's about people who are getting to the next level, more serious, maybe have talked to their mayor and he wants to pursue this further. It also extends to those, now you're really serious and you need some coaching for the next RFP. And in as we get closer into this fall, we'll be talking about, coincidentally, about every one of the questions that EPA asks on that grant, and we investigate it from different angles. We're not a grant preparer, but what we'll do is, for example, if we talk about advisory committees, we'll have a session, maybe two, on forming this advisory committee. Who should you be getting? Who should you be partnering with? So we'll go into detail on all of those ranking criteria that you may have seen if you applied before. We will do that in the sessions through the fall, and we might even have some grantees talking about their experience with those particular issues. So we're basically the capacity building for workforce training. There is a analogous organization that's called the TAB program that you may have heard, Technical Assistance to Brownfields. While we're the only one that does workforce, because there are many more ARC, I'll explain what ARC is in a second, many more of these other grantees, they have three different organizations that are similar to us, but they work on the technical side. They'll work on writing a grant for doing assessments in Ohio, or they'll be doing, they'll how to write your proposal to get funding for TAB and for ARC. And ARC is an acronym which the government uses a lot, the Assessment, Revolving Loan Funds, and Cleanup Funds, and may also include underground storage tanks. These are the grants that are actually doing the work. They're doing the technical work, and TAB is like us. They support, the TAB grantees support the cities and the nonprofits that are doing that on a technical side. We're their brother or sister organization, EPAs, who are taking care of the workforce and the manpower grantees and kind of coaching them along. And they're quite different. They really are. What ties them all together is they're coming out of the same office, off the OBLR out of Washington. And they're also very linked in that if you're doing cleanup or you're doing assessment or you're doing an underground storage tank cleanup, you're going to be looking for people to do it who are certified. And we're the people you go to, or you are the people to go to. So they need a supply of trained, certified people. And that's where the workforce development program comes in. We call it Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training. And you'll see that acronym a lot as you go through this. So as an intro, my infomercial here is that we do these every 2 weeks. We do also will be doing the all-grantee meeting, which we'll talk about in a second. But we're basically your coaches and advocates. You may have a question of EPA or a problem with EPA, and we could diplomatically and blindly ask EPA, we have a question. This comes up quite often. We have a question or a complaint from a stakeholder that we'd like you to address. And so it's a good way of, if you don't really want to confront your regional coordinator, he may not know, or you want to ask something of headquarters, we'll find the answer for you. So that's kind of who we are and why we do this. And, of course, it's very informal. We'll limit it to about 30 minutes every 2 weeks. Same time, same place, same time. If you have not gotten a notice or you want to be put on the PLC list, and what we do is we send out two reminders, maybe three, every week, the week of the PLC, which will always be on Wednesday from 2 to 2:30 Eastern time. We'll send out a couple of notices, and then more important, we send out notes, post-session notes, and that's where we put all the websites. Anything we talk about in that session, we'll put on the PLC notes, and that'll, so you don't really have to take notes. It'll have URLs for those. And let me introduce, and I gave Kelly my address, but to the group, if you want to sign up for the PLC, I'm going to introduce Heather Ballou, who is really a good central contact point. And Heather will bring us the news from Washington. We talk to them every week, find out what's going on and the latest. So with that, Heather, do you want to take over?
Absolutely. So welcome to all the people that might be new joining us this cycle around. We're excited to have you guys come in and chat with us for a bit every other week. So news from HQ, really honestly, there's no new news right now. They are excitedly helping us prepare for the all grantee meeting that is coming up in just a couple of weeks. So we will see a lot of HQ participation during that meeting, and so it's a great opportunity to interact with individuals that you otherwise might really only have communication by email, if at all. So on that note, if any of you guys have not already heard or registered for our all grantee meeting, the all grantee meeting will be August 8th and 9th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Alexandria, Virginia. We're really excited to have grantees as well as PLC participants join us at this fantastic two-day meeting. And if you guys are interested in learning any more about that or on any of the other topics that Mike mentioned, you can always contact me at hkballou@eicc.edu. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu.
That will get you, if you send her your contact information, that it will get you on our listserv and our PLC. And I previously gave my address, msenew@aol.com. Mike Senew, that's S with a S as in Senew, as in Sam, E-N-E-W. And email us, and we'll make sure you're on the PLC list. Or if you have a friend and say, maybe you ought to check this out. There's no commitment, no cost. And people come and go. We have a list. Our participant list is in 480 or so, and 480. Our listserv that we also have is over 1,000. And people come and go from the calls, and that's fine. And it's the whole idea is group participation. What we're really looking for is interaction. Today's an exceptional call. As we do more of these, we'll be asking questions, what are you doing, or what works for you on this topic, or what would you like to find out more about? The third member of our team that works on this is Bruce Diamond. Bruce is working on the all grantee meeting registration, and he'll be there. What is the latest on the all grantee in terms of attendance? And is everything closed for now?
Everything is closed for now. You can still register, yes, and I think you can still book hotel rooms, but our deadline has passed for our contracted rate of $119 a night. It will go up to $150 per night, $55 per night starting today. We will work with the hotel and try to get the lower rate. And if you have any problems reserving a room at the hotel, we're, again, at the Crown Plaza Old Town, Alexandria this week. And like I said, if you have any problems with the hotel or you need parking, please let me know. My email address is B Diamond. That's B D I A M O N D at EICC.edu. And we have about 112 people registered now, so it's going to be a good conference.
Just about all of the grantees will be there, current grantees. We'll have many applicants who weren't fortunate enough to get funded this go-around. We'll have alumni grantees, and we'll have people from EPA, and we'll have all the regional coordinators there to ask questions. And that conference will be focused strictly on networking, so everyone will get a chance to spend some time with their regional coordinator face-to-face. They'll have a chance to talk to their peers and talk to many people who have not been successful one or two or even three times. We've got people coming who were grantees and then kind of dropped out or didn't get re-upped. I call it re-upped or refunded. Were out for a few years, some several years, and then came back, and they're back in it. King County out in Washington was long ago was a grantee, spent a lot of time as a grantee, and then dropped out for several years and have been refunded. So there's a nice mix of people, and they all have one thing in common, and that's environmental training. As far as what it would cost you, you have to get there. The meals during the day are their working meals, so there's really no expense there. In the morning, lunch, you have to find your own dinner. So, and the hotels are picked up also by EPA. So the really only costs are, which aren't insignificant though, is the transportation to get there and some couple of dinners. So it's definitely worth it whether we do it this. And if you can't, the next two PLCs, next 2 weeks from now on August 1st, we'll be talking more about that. And then after the conference, we'll have a professional learning community that will talk about what went on, the highlights of the program, and what different people talked about. And then throughout the fall, we'll be talking about those specific issues. And we have breakout sessions, things like recruitment, advisory panels, drug issues. The biggest issue that we saw this year was drug issues, followed by placing ex-offenders, followed by retention of participants. And that also tied into all of those was recruitment. So those are the kind of things that we will be talking about. I want to spend a few minutes here before we use up the time. Those of you who were not accepted, and or those of you who are planning on not attending the conference, I want to reassure you that about 60 applicants sent in proposals, and 17 were able to be funded. About half of those are re-ups, about half new. So there were quite a few odds against everyone. And if you came to the meeting, you'd find that many grantees will tell you we've applied one, two, or three times. And the reason is that the ranking criteria are so demanding, you almost have to have your whole program set out in front of you before you can even apply for the proposal. So you have to kind of lay out everything you're going to be doing,
okay,
and you have to pay high detailed attention. That's why as we go into the fall and in the winter here, it's probably a good thing to come onto these PLCs and see what when we talk about advisory committees and that partnerships and those types of things. So don't let not being funded discourage you. What we suggest to those who are not successful, and that includes new grantees, and it also includes proposed people who would like to. I'm just going to wait for a second. Someone's on another call. This is kind of the problem you have with open mics, but okay. would suggest that you keep your teams together, keep your advisory committees together, try to start looking at how you're going to be doing this for the next round. And this has been going on for 20 years. So, again, those of you who were rejected, we suggest you say to any of the partners, you or advisors you had lined up for your proposal that was not funded, say, well, it was a very competitive. There were 17 out of 60 or so, and we're planning on going forward, and we're going to apply for the next round. And we'd like to keep our team together. Better than that is we would like to keep our team together, but we're also looking for some funding to maybe get some planning going. And what I would do with those people is I would go to the mayor's office, I would go to the deaner, I would go to those organizations that might be potential funders. We've had many cases where we'll say, well, you didn't get it, but I think we'd like to, we want this program badly enough, we're willing to give you some money to do some pilot work or some planning work. So again, I would start right now and try, and if you can't get the money, get the moral support, because that's almost as good as money. And where you get that is going into the mayor's office and try to find an organization there that is closely fits. It might be the Division of Employment, might be community assistance. Every one thing when we get into this is every community is a little different. So you may have to do a little checking around. One of our grantees who's going to be talking at the all-grantee meeting, he decided he wanted to do a program. He started hammering away at City Hall, and he got the support, and he was hired by City Hall and used that position to work with contractors who were doing work for the city, and he built up a great program, 100% placement of his students. So, again, don't just walk away from this. I think it's worth starting. Once you get into this program and you're successful, it can go on, and you can get funding from – in fact, we encourage you get funding from other sources. Cypress Mandel has been going now for about 20 years. They get money from just about everybody, and has a great program. They just expanded to a huge facility out in California and are doing great. And Art's going to talk about his story at this meeting. Those of you who were funded, this is something that you've got to think about. It's now that the joy is over, the hard work starts. And some of you are probably negotiating or have to get your work plans approved. The money, once you get the acceptance letter, doesn't mean checks in the mail. You really, at this point, have to get your work plan approved. And you have to go through, get the ACRES training, and you have to get the management training. And I assume many of you have already started that process. For those of you who are either re-upped or you're a current grantee or you're a new grantee, this is a great time to go back and look at your proposal. And I know you were accepted, but that was a year ago. And when you were developing your proposal, things have maybe changed. You may have been on the PLCs over the last year. You may have come to the all-grantee meeting and got feedback from other grantees. And you may realize that what you wrote is not exactly what you want to do. In fact, you may find that what you wrote may be a disaster. That first year, if you're a new grantee, is the toughest year you're ever going to have. And that usually centers around your need to get enrollees in your program, particularly if you're a rural or non-urban area. And you may let up on your recruitment, and this is something we'll be talking about later, but you may relax on your screening and recruitment. And the whole thing you have to remember about this program, it's all about placing people. It's all about the job. So we always suggest work backwards. You've got to revisit your needs assessment and find out, now the rubber meets the road, who's going to hire my students? And that may have changed from last year when you wrote the proposal. It could be you've got a tank manufacturer in town, or you've got someone new, or someone, the redevelopment plans changed. This is often a landmine that comes up. Well, we had this big thing lined up with this, with developer, and we had the needs lined up, we had the support letters, and then it was put on hold. Well, this is the time, as you're sitting down with EPA, and developing your work plans to reassess all of that and say, well, this is a time when we've got the development plans have changed. We'd like to reorient our training program. We'd like to kind of do a mid-course maneuver in our curriculum. We've got to readdress who we're recruiting. Maybe we were doing something in the area of asbestos, but that deconstruction was delayed. But now we've got some highway work with hazardous materials and we need flaggers, and we'd like to reorient our curriculum. If you do it now, it's a great time, because once you get that work plan done, then, and that's going to happen in the next couple months, when that work plan is done, then they're going to be checking your progress reports against the work plan. So if you could sit down and say, just say with the EPA people, we're not changing our grant much, same deliverables and everything, but we need to do a little fine-tuning. We've learned that we've got a better screening method. We want to tweak our curriculum a little bit, change this. We want to go from day to night courses because of the people we're recruiting. So it's an excellent time to think about it, and not only about the big things like curriculum, but it's a good time to reassess, are your advisors working for you, the people that volunteered, are they really going to come through, and are they going to provide support that you were hoping to get? Are they going to be really contributing to the program, or are they going to be taking up an empty seat? So you may want to start, maybe you haven't recruited your advisory board yet, but when you do that, you want to make sure that everyone that's sitting in that room is contributing to something, not just taking a day off to go to see what you're doing. They need to be working advisors. And of course, some of the best ones are your employers, your working employers. Again, working backwards. If I had an advisory committee, I'd want someone from the mayor's office or governmental organizations, from someone perhaps from the WIB. I would want employers, big time employers. And of course, Paul from Rochester said that's exactly what he did. He got employers on his advisory committee, and he got commitments from everyone, not necessarily to hire his people, but to look at his people. And when he had his advisory board meetings, they started talking about how many people they were going to look at. Oh, I'll look at five of you, your graduates. And someone said, not to be outdone, I'll look at five or six, or I'll look at three or four. And basically, he had more employers than he had participants that were graduating. So this was a kind of, again, looking backwards, reassess, are your advisors working for you? Reassess, are your partners working for you? Now that you've got the money in the bank, okay, what's the WIB going to do for you exactly? Is Goodwill going to help in some way? When you're going down to City Hall, what programs are similar that we can work with? Are there ARC grants, the assessment or cleanup grants that have been awarded? And if you could find that out before you meet with the EPA people, well, since we got the award, we've talked to the people who are doing cleanup, and we've talked to the mayor's office, and actually we've talked to some contractors who's going to be working on the cleanup in our area. This is kind of basic research you want to do before, when you're talking to your regional coordinators and when you're refining your program plans, because for those of you who got money, you know, the money will come out in September after you've got your program plans approved. It has to be allotted before the end of September, and then you actually start doing some work in the fall, and then, of course, you're going to have to decide what's your course schedule going to be. You know, are you going after ex-offenders? Are you going after – are they going to be too hard to place? In this and drug environment, are you even going to be able to place your people that are on test positive for drugs? Are you going to have to say you can't graduate until you test positive, you test negative, or are you going to say you can't get into the program until you've shown you're drug free? Are you going to be doing rehabilitation as part of your program? Many, of course, if you're working with government employers, you may not be able, you may have to have special situations for ex-offenders. You may have to realign your curriculum that work for ex-offenders might be more construction-oriented rather than, say, a security job or something where they'll be going into homes. So what I'm talking about today is, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, in 2 weeks is as you refine your program plans. And when you're thinking about that, think about how things have changed and how you want to be evaluated as you go forward. And getting this grant isn't the worst thing you ever did. And one big headache could be great, or if you've overcommitted, it could be a challenge. And here's a time to kind of, okay, the rubber is going to meet the road, and now we actually have to do this stuff. So how do we go about doing that? So, well, we do this for 30 minutes, and this is kind of an example of what we do. Does anyone have any questions about the PLCs or about some of the topics? We'll be going into these topics in depth in the future, but anybody have any comments or questions? Okay. Well, you can certainly write to Heather if you do, and we always try to get answers and put them into the post-session notes. Heather or Bruce, do you have anything to add?
Nothing new on my side from Heather.
Okay. Bruce,
but just again, if you need to get a hold of me for whatever reason, you can do it again at HKBALLOU.
Great.
And nothing new from me.
Okay, great. Well, hope to see you all in a couple of weeks, and have a good day. Talk to you soon.